If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, a Thursday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yes, that's right. Yes, indeed, he beat the needy. It is draft day, baby. It is draft day. You know, it's Christmas morning to a lot of people. Although Christmas morning is typically when you get to open up the presents. So this is like Christmas morning in Hawaii, I guess, because like it'll be like night for us. But I don't even know how time zones work. So like there are different areas across the world that are at different times right now. Is this true? Is this true? I'm learning this right now.
I was told it's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's all I know.
I was told that, too. So I never thought about that. I just thought it was a broken clock. I never thought that there were different areas, time zones. How do they work? Let's all find it out. Let's read about it. Let's go to Wikipedia. Let's find out about time zones. I know this. Tonight, whether you're in the Eastern, Central, Western, Mountain, whatever it is, we'll be watching the NFL draft and enjoying and hopefully having some fun and seeing who the Kansas City Chiefs end up taking with their first pick, whether that be tonight or that be tomorrow night with their I don't know. It could be crazy. Maybe they'll pick till Saturday. I don't know. Probably not. But we will talk a lot about that today throughout the show. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810. Text line to join us to be a part of the show. Ken Swanson coming up at 11 o'clock. KC Sports Network. KCSN.substack.com. We will talk with him about tonight, the draft, what he thinks is going to happen, what he would like to have happen. And the different things with the Chiefs we'll talk about throughout the show today. Are there any glaring needs on this team? Because we talk about, you know, Brett Veach does such a great job of going into the draft without having like a quote unquote glaring need. Well, let's actually talk about that and discuss that. We will do that at some point. And we'll get into our top three in the noon hour, our top three best draft picks by the Chiefs since Patrick Mahomes. Because top three draft picks by the Chiefs ever is number one, Patrick Mahomes. Number two, it's number 15 for the Chiefs currently. And number three was the quarterback from Texas Tech that they took in 2017. Those are the top three draft picks on the Chiefs' history, one, two, and three. It is Patrick Mahomes, Pat Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes the second. LeVon, sorry.
Ah, yes.
Those are the top three draft picks for the Kansas City Chiefs. But we will do the top three picks since Patrick Mahomes. And we'll do that coming up at noon. But Kent Swanson, 11 o'clock, we'll do that coming up at noon. Sports or Leisure today in the 1 o'clock hour presented by Johnny's Tavern. 913-912-4810 is the text line. Let's get into a little Royals before we get into so much Chiefs today. Royals win again last night, back-to-back 3-2 wins over the Toronto Blue Jays. It's like deja vu all over again, right? Because they win 3-2 on, what, Tuesday night? They win 3-2 last night. And they do that in taking advantage of a misplay defensively. They do that in a misplay by Vlad Jr. on Tuesday night, in which they score a couple of runs. And then they do that with a misplay in left field by somebody who... It's really smart strategy. We're going to bring somebody up to make his major league debut, and he's going to play a position he has never played in his life. He's going to play a position in left field where he's never played in his professional career. We're going to put him in left field. surprisingly, the first shot his way in the air, he misjudges and he gets burned. Also, it's Kyle Isbell. There is so much from last night that was deja vu. The starting pitcher went the same amount of innings and outs, even though they left for different reasons. The bullpen came in and threw BBs and shut it down. MacArthur got a save yet again, and a misplay by a Kyle Isbell hit is the reason why they ended up scoring enough runs to win that game. So much of the two nights back-to-back. They could have easily lost both of those games, but we have talked about that they could have easily won the games against the Orioles. Multiple games against the Orioles. We discussed that yesterday. They could have easily lost that game last night. They could have easily lost the game on Tuesday night. They might be on a six-game losing streak right now. But winning teams find a way to get it done. And this team is 15-10, and they are not 13-12 right now. Because they've done that the last two nights. 3-2 victory, MacArthur two inning saves. 3-2 victory. Last night, MacArthur comes out there, gets another save, and just has... He's got Biggio... just in knots. Clueless. Biggio, no idea what's coming. And to take that pitch right down the middle, which, you know, you do have to guess. It might be a 50-50 chance that the umpire calls it a strike. Not technically down the middle, but you get the point. 50-50 chance the umpire calls that a strike, which was a pretty easy call. But regardless, that called third strike, MacArthur gets out of it. The Royals win, and they are playing. They aren't playing great baseball right now. Let's be honest. They are pitching it really well. The bullpen is playing phenomenal. They're playing good defense. The starting staff has let them down, and I know that last night was unfortunate. But the starting staff through this round of 1 through 5 has not looked nearly what it did the first few rounds through the 1 through 5. The bullpen is amazing. The offense is scratching across runs and taking advantage of misplays. They're not playing great baseball, yet they have, at worst, already split the series with the Blue Jays, not playing really well.
There's so many takeaways. One, Salvador Perez is now taking walks, which, yes, you can teach old dogs new tricks.
Apparently.
He's apparently very good at framing now, and he takes walks now. What is happening with Salvador Perez?
That's a great question.
It's everyone knows your prime as a catcher is 33. Everyone knows this.
Yeah, I mean, it's
everyone
obvious.
Knows
you've talked about it before, and it's common knowledge.
Michael Garcia, again, two hits. Did that home run. All of a sudden, give him some confidence. It sure looks like it.
I mean, there's no other way around it, right? I mean, he was a completely different hitter before that home run, and now he's getting multiple
four
hits.
4-for-8.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Adam Frazier, surprisingly starting to heat up just a little bit. I know the overline numbers are not great, but another two hits last night, right? A nice little booty knock in the left field. Adam Frazier starting to turn things around. We talked about Kyle Isbell, obviously. Did that home run for him. Don't shake your head. Are you saying that I'm finally becoming a...
No. I appreciate what you're talking about. I do.
It hurts. I'm a true water supporter, but...
I appreciate what you're talking about.
I give credit
It's a different reason I was shaking my head, but go ahead.
I give credit where credit's due. But the bullpen, again, they have these defined roles, as we've mentioned. Schreiber, yet again, going in there, getting it done. Chris Stratton going in there, yet again, getting it done. And then James MacArthur, this was the filthiest I think he's looked all season long. That curveball was moving, and that sinker was phenomenal. I think it has to do with now he has a walk-in song. James MacArthur, according to Jack Johnson, he was at the game last night, now has an official closer walk-in
Amazing,
song.
Right?
The first since Kelvin Herrera.
Does that make you official? Like, we all understand he's been called the closer, right? Like, he is the closer, whether Q has said he is our closer. Because I remember last year talking with Scott Barlow, and Scott Barlow saying, well, Q's never actually told me I'm the closer. It just sort of has kind of worked out that way, that you eventually get more and more and more into those, you know, and maybe it was like Matheny even a couple of years ago when he was like, it's never really been something that was like named that. But anyway, you know, MacArthur's clearly been inserted into that closer role, and he's done multiple different things and being that particular closer in this closer role. But now it's official. If you have a walkout song, there are only There's only one person in the bullpen that has their own walkout song, yeah. and that is the established closer. The yeah. understood, everybody agrees, this is the ninth inning guy. This is the guy that closes the door. This is the guy that slams it shut. This is the guy you bring in to throw the hammer and call it a game. You've got your song. Herrera and Waiter and Holland and the Mexicutioner. Like, we've seen some guys come through here with their song. And if MacArthur has his song, well, that's a different level to him and his confidence out there on the mound.
Two things. Yes, 100% agree. Second thing, it also helps when you're not pitching for a 50-win team. When you're closing for a 50-win team, it's a little different going, oh, yeah, look at this badass coming in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hell, yeah. Look at this guy. Oh, my goodness. Here, the song for...
It's Yakety Sacks. It's Yakety Sacks.
And then you actually you get the ride out there on the bullpen cart, which, by the way, one of the biggest mistakes baseball ever made was taking away those bullpen carts. I mean, come on. You need those bullpen carts. But it would be like you ride out there with the Yakety Sacks in the bullpen cart, and then guys just get out there and just sort of run around the car, and then they sort of figure out which one is going to be
to
out
pitch.
There to close.
I'm more Kenny Powers. Like I'm getting the music and I'm hanging from the bullpen when it swings open.
Yeah.
And I'm just gripping it just real hard. If you think I'm not just ripping a cigarette as I'm walking in just to really strike fear, God's gonna cut you down. Playing in the background, I got like a Budweiser in a hand. I have a Cowboy Killer in the left. Come on, no one's touching that. No one's touching that.
Here's how you enter. You open up that gate. The gate opens up, or you don't have to open up. The gate opens up because typically they'll open up for you. You walk out there. You've got that bush in the left hand, and you've got the lung dart in the right. And you smash that, you know, bush light, throw it down, one drag, flick it on the ground, snuff it out with the foot, and then sprint on in there to go close the door. That guy, I don't want to go up there and face that guy on the mound. That guy doesn't give a bleep. If he takes my head off, he probably doesn't care. If he throws it right down the middle and he gives a 3-run home run, he doesn't care because he's here to party anyway.
He's going
to
fight you.
The first pitch is probably going behind you anyway, you know, behind your head anyway.
Right. We better get this guy some control or he's going to kill somebody out there.
As I'm throwing 64 miles an hour.
The Ephus pitch.
Yeah. Oh, no, the Ephus is much slower. That's me coming in about 40.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
no,
right,
my,
yeah.
My fastball, that two-seamer is
the
coming in at 64.
The old RBI baseball.
Yeah. Ooh, doom, 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 doom.
You got that going for you. Yeah. So you got that Ephus pitch. I can see you coming in like that. That would be your entrance into the world.
I did my research of what my walkout song would be.
Oh, I know what mine would be. I know what my walkout song would be as a closer. And I'm glad he didn't close for the Mets when the Royals faced off against them in 2015.
John Franco.
No, it was...
I heard Mets and closer and just immediately thought
John
Franco.
That makes sense, but not Euris Familia either. Yeah. My walkout, that's an easy one. It's Edwin Diaz and Narco.
You're copying it? Be
I don't
original,
care. I don't
Jason.
Care who I'm copying. There's a lot of copying. Joaquin Soria used Hell's Bells, and that's Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah, that's Trevor.
Yeah. Other people have used Enter Sandman, and that's Mariano. But this is where I'm walking out. And I'm standing there, looking at the sky, arms open, starting to go. Boom, running. Here I go, running on there. Get there to the mound and get ready to roll.
The best of all times, God's Gonna Cut You Down by Johnny Cash. But you can't use that because, as Dylan pointed out, every single dude in high school and college has that as their closing.
Oh, really?
And now, unfortunately, every single person in college and high school has that. As
no!
Like, yes, yes, unfortunately. The part of it is you have to be original. It has to be...
Yeah, that's true.
That's why Enter Sandman was awesome.
Got a couple here.
So you've got originality?
I got it. Well, one's not super original, but it's a good one. Hail to the King by Avenged Sevenfold, right?
Okay, sure. I'll take
your
word for
it. That's solid
one. Yeah, take your word for it.
Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden, which I don't think anyone has ever used.
No, I don't think people should. If they see you, Run to the Hills. I'd do
Run
that.
To the Hills, because it's over.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then the final one, which is obviously REO Speedwagon's Riding the Storm Out live version.
Yeah.
Got it a live version, Riding the Storm Out.
No, that makes sense.
When you hear that
sense.
That siren sound.
Mm-hmm.
you better watch out. Although, mm-hmm. I don't know if you want riding the storm out the as
live.
A closer.
No, you have to earn the live version.
You got to earn the live
because
one.
Metallica played Sandman live for...
Actually, I'm racking my brain now. It wasn't Hell's Bells from Executioner.
No.
He was Welcome to the Jungle. Did I say Welcome to the Jungle or did I say Hell's Bells?
You said Hell's Bells.
Okay, so it was definitely Welcome to the Jungle, but I'm thinking back like, wait a minute, did I say Hell's Bells because I didn't mention Welcome to the Jungle? I'm like, no, Welcome to the Jungle was Joaquin Soria, but he was also Eric Gagne. It was also Gagne, both of those guys. So it's not like Mexicutioner was all that original either. I mean, there are a number of songs. I hate that Timmy Trumpet is what kids are going with these days because I think that's just a badass thing to walk out to. And especially with Edwin Diaz being Latin.
Well,
like,
people are copying you. It's the best form of appreciation, I guess.
Well, that would just be to Diaz, though. Last year when they had the live version.
Right.
When Timmy Trumpets went out there and played, played the trumpet live.
Yeah, I'm sure
for
it was
Diaz.
Live. Yeah, I'm sure he was actually playing that live.
It was.
Yes, that wasn't pre-recorded.
It's actually a video.
No, I know.
Do you think every single halftime show is live too?
It sounded different than just the song, though. I mean, they had the song in the background, and then he hit the. I want to live in a world where I believe that he played that live.
I believe played that halftime show live in Dallas, too.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely.
Yeah, me, too.
Don't they always do that?
Yeah. Papelbon has the best one, though. I'm shipping up to Boston.
Yeah,
now.
If you're in Boston, that
would
pretty
make solid.
Sense. Yeah.
And nobody can do it after because, again.
Because he's already done that. Yeah. Kenley Jansen had, what was his? Kenley Jansen, because he was Dodgers. California Love, because he was the Dodgers. So like, there's certain things to where location matters, right? So the fact that you talk about Papelbon and
Jonathan Broxton had Iron Man, which was just because he was not an Iron Man. I mean, he pitched a lot, but that body type does not scream Iron Man.
Who came out to Let It Go from the Frozen soundtrack? Didn't somebody come out to? Wasn't it kind of like people were having fun with it, but he came out to, was it Kim Brell?
Yep.
Kim Brell was the
guy. He's unhittable. It's a 2022 video here. It says, Craig Kimbrell unhittable since using Let It Go as walkout.
Badass. I mean, that's the psych out. That's where you psych the person out. I mean, Sandstorm.
Mental warfare.
How many people have used Sandstorm? That'd be a fun one. I mean, you'd have to go to K-State to do that then.
Yeah,
To use that one. Or South Carolina. You know, if you went to South Carolina, you could use that as well because they use Sandstorm all the time. All right, so feels like less of a fluke that the Royals did what they did on Tuesday because they did it again last night. And this is what a winning team can do. This is what a team that can find a way to win. This team is 15-10 and not 13-12. Which is, you know, obviously a big deal. It's a huge difference between the two. And they are 2.5 games out because the Guardians did lose last night. So they're 2.5 games out of Cleveland by finding a way to win. We'll see. They got an afternoon game coming up today. They got an afternoon game tomorrow as well. We will take a timeout. We'll come back. We will get into Chiefs and Chiefs and Chiefs. It is the draft coming up tonight. We got the draft day special right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro, Curtis Seabolt, Mark Bullrichter. They will be taking you through the entire first round tonight. And we'll see when it gets to pick 32 if the Chiefs are on the clock. If they have already selected or they're not selecting tonight. We'll find out throughout the night tonight. 913-912-4810 is the text line. We'll talk with Kent Swanson coming up at 11 o'clock. We will play some sports or leisure. Oddly enough, it'll be an NFL draft theme on the sports side. Sports or leisure in the 1 o'clock hour. More Zone next. Make sure you check out Hollywood Casino for the draft coming up tonight. All throughout the spring as well. Playoff hoops, hockey action, baseball, and, of course, the draft coming up tonight. The biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Join today downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Hollywood Casino Speedway your spring sports viewing headquarters and your NFL draft viewing headquarters tonight. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Getting help? Your best bet. Call 1-800-522-4700. Should let you know that our NFL draft coverage, as we continue throughout the day, it is presented not only by Hollywood Casino, but by Greenlight Dispensary and also Twin Peaks. This text comes in, and boy, I wish there was a way to do this. It's not possible to do this, but it would be nice if someone did this. Text says, it should be a rule that says if you draft at 32 and you're trading out of round one, you can announce it so your fans that have endured 3 hours, they can check out early. He said 4:30 a.m. comes early the next morning.
Hear, hear.
I wish there was a way they could do that without screwing. Like, if the Chiefs were trading out, like, can you already announce it, like, at pick 15? But you can't, because at pick 32, if the Chiefs are trading out, that team doesn't know if that player is going to be there or not. But it would be nice if you could fast forward through the whole thing and see that they don't actually draft and go, you know what, I'm going to go to bed because I've got all day tomorrow. If you don't, you know, obviously have a show that starts at 10 o'clock where you have to know everything that happened the night before, whether they drafted or not. But I've got all day tomorrow to figure out who got drafted, who's the best available, what are the storylines, ooh, what's the first round grades? I'm going to give the Bears an A. Well, what are you giving them an A for? Well, they had two first-round draft picks. They got two really good players. They get an A. Well, who got an F? Chiefs didn't even have a pick. F minus for the Chiefs, just like their owner. F didn't even have a pick in the first round. They got zero better. They got zero better. You get those grades, you got all day to do that. It's a great point. It's a great point, man. I'm with you. I'm in agreement. I'm also the weirdo that would be perfectly fine if they trade out. I would not be excited about it at the time. Obviously and honestly, and not to where it's like, hell yeah, they traded out. All right. But if looking back, knowing I'm going to invest the hours anyway for this show, obviously different for different people, as the texter says, 4:30 a.m. comes early. And when you are watching at, midnight, I wish there was a way to do that. That would be great. That would be great. But then, of course, they don't want to lose your viewership. They don't want to lose that number. You want to lose a viewership, man? Come on. But it all depends on what you got going on. Like, if you had baseball tonight, probably don't have it with the rain, so that might be great for you. If you're like, oh, my God, my kid's got a baseball game tonight. I'm going to deal with that. Oh, rain. All right, pray for rain. Got it. Kevin Costner, I can get you a rain out. You want a rain out, but you need a rain out. I can get us a rain out if we want a day off. That's nice, but sometimes you may have some other things going on. You're like, well, I got to catch up on DVR. And you can just fast forward there. You know, maybe start it at like 9:30. If you started at 9:30 and just fast forward through the picks, you don't invest as much time. You know? There are times when it's not the worst thing in the world where I'm catching up on a football game. Or baseball is much more difficult to catch up with now. I will say that baseball used to be one of the easiest to catch up with because you can just press the 10-second forward, right, and just keep doing it because you knew, and especially when I had DirecTV, so you could do that and then press play and it would always go back like 5 seconds. So if you saw the pitcher getting ready to pitch, boom, press play. But now there's no reason to do that because the pitch clock's, 15 seconds or whatever. So there's really no, the only catching up is on a foul ball, but then you're catching up like 10 seconds. So it is more difficult. I will say that. For the last year, it has been way more difficult to catch up on baseball to get it to where you're watching at the end. But, watching live. Text says, you also get 4 notifications for every pick. You really do, man.
Yeah, isn't this the season where people leak the pick before it happens as well?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, everybody's got. I mean, the we are typically 2 picks deep into the leaks by the time like pick 6 is already being discussed as this team is taking this pick at pick 6 and pick number 4 is still on the clock.
Right.
It's like,
so if your interest is to get to bed early, you can just scroll through Twitter as well.
That's right, man. Oh, that's absolutely right. 913-912-4810. It is a great idea. If there was a way that you could do that, yes, it would be nice if the NFL did that. Here's a question that I have. We talk about, Brett Veach and the job that he's done and typically does about eliminating any glaring needs that may be there for a team, that you don't go into the draft and think that you have to take this specific player or position unless you're sitting at quarterback, right? But even when they took Patrick Mahomes, it wasn't a glaring need at quarterback. Like, they traded up and people were still wondering if they were trading up to get a defensive player and who the quarterback might be when they traded up, because they didn't have a glaring need. It wasn't like the Chicago Bears or the Raiders or, you know, Broncos or other teams that are talking about Commanders that are talking about getting a quarterback in the draft this year. There wasn't that glaring need. They had Alex Smith. So even that year when they made that huge move that was franchise-altering, NFL league-altering move to go get Patrick Mahomes, it wasn't a need to where you have to take a quarterback, do whatever it takes, Vontae Mack no matter what, you know, this player or position no matter what. Brett Veach has done a pretty good job of that in his time with the Chiefs as being a GM. And one of the times where we saw that maybe a couple of times that's happened where it might have been a miss or a reach. Breland speaks. It was, we got to get a defensive end. We have to have this defense. We got to have somebody. Okay, let's trade up and get Breland Speaks because we have to have this guy. Mecole Hardman. We don't know what's going to go on with Tyreek Hill. Have to have this guy. Got to trade up. DK Metcalf. Maybe there was some of the Tyreek Hill. Maybe not. I mean, Brett Veach talked about that. We played that clip on Monday with the Kevin Hart podcast when he said that, you know, the red flags or the things that were there with DK Metcalf as the pick that he looks back and says that, you know, he'd like to have back, or at least a player that you quote unquote miss or stays with you that, you know, you didn't draft and you could have drafted, in that, you know, there were some things there, but as he said, it wasn't, looking back, it wasn't enough that should have prompted them to not take DK Metcalf. But like the glaring needs on this team, is this actually and truthfully a draft where there aren't any glaring needs? I want to play this clip. This is clip 10 from Monday's show, from the Veach press conference, but it's clip number 10. And obviously you'll know where I'm going with this clip, if we're talking about glaring needs or a hole or something that the Chiefs feel like they are going to attack or have to attack in this draft. But here's Brett Veach talking about Wanya Morris. So there's a difference between saying we are definitely going to grab somebody and we're going to look to bring in competition. You know, that job is not yours. It is not given to you because you're the, I guess would be considered the incumbent. You're the man that played left tackle last year at any time and you're on this roster still. So you would be, by process of elimination, the incumbent at left tackle, but it is not your job given. It is your job to earn, and we will be looking to bring in competition. That doesn't mean looking to bring in competition in the first round or looking to bring in competition as a free agent after the draft is over, or specifically looking just to bring in competition in the middle of the draft, because if you trade up and get somebody to play left tackle, that's not bringing in competition. That's bringing in your left tackle. Unless Wanya Morris is just so amazing, and then you trade up for a guy and he doesn't play left tackle, well, then we're having a different conversation. Then we're having a bad... If you thought Wanya Morris could be that good, then there was no reason to waste resources and move up and grab a guy that wouldn't even be playing for you. Okay? So, grabbing somebody in the first round is not bringing in competition. It's bringing in a starting left tackle. Trading up to get somebody. Drafting somebody at 32, let's say Kingsley Suamataia, you draft him, yeah, that's bringing in competition. You would want Kingsley to win the job eventually, but it is a longer-term play. It's a bigger picture view of this team in 25 and 26 and 27. I've always said there is no such thing as a luxury pick. My biggest issue with Clyde Edwards-Helaire's selection in the first round of 2020 was that it was viewed as like, well, the Chiefs have everything taken care of. They can go anywhere they want. They've got a luxury pick. They could even go running back in the first round. Well, there's no such thing as a luxury pick, because whether you draft for need or best available, what your needs are right now may not be your needs next year. And you might think you are packed at a position, and then halfway through the season, or you get into the offseason, you're like, wow, boy, wish we would have taken that spot. Wish we would have taken this guy. Wish we would have taken, you know, instead of Edwards-Helaire, a wide receiver or a cornerback or something along those lines. but they took a running back. It was a luxury pick. No such thing in the NFL. So, like, you know, glaring needs or something.
Didn't they let someone make that pick?
I don't truly believe that it was Patrick Mahomes that picked Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
It was a luxury pick, so.
Yeah, I don't really believe that, because if
know,
that was
I,
the
I
case.
I don't either. They gave him.
They're like, hey,
said,
who do you want? And
yeah,
it's like.
They gave him two choices.
Clyde.
Too.
He's like, oh.
Or he could take a punter. Corey Taylor.
Patrick, your choice. Would you rather us draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a mass murderer who's actually incarcerated for the next 40 years and will not play a down for this team? I guess Clyde Edwards-Helaire. All right, guys, Patrick Mahomes wants Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Should we take him? All right, let's take Clyde. And make sure everybody knows that when we get to this press conference, Patrick Mahomes wanted Clyde Edwards-Helaire too. So if he isn't any good and the whole, you can't draft a running back in the first round, you want to tell that to Patrick Mahomes? All right, that guy's got a ring on his finger. That guy put a ring on everybody's finger around here. He wanted Clyde. I've got the text right here that says Clyde Edwards-Helaire, CEH. Now, I erased the text I sent him about the mass murderer who's incarcerated for 50 years and will never play in the NFL, and I asked him to erase that one that he received as well. And we've worked with the government to scrub those as well, if anybody wants to, you know, grab those call logs. But he wanted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's a random choice. It's really, really odd that those would be the two choices for the Chiefs at first round. Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a mass murderer who's never actually going to play in the NFL because he's incarcerated for the next 50 years. And if everybody else got that same choice, they would have taken Clyde Edwards-Helaire too. So I don't know what everybody's bitching about. Why is everybody complaining about the Chiefs taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You could have had the mass murderer. You don't want that guy. Spend the rest of his time in prison. He's not going to help you. He's never going to play for you. At least Clyde Edwards-Helaire played. He got a couple rings.
Had some bad interviews. You know?
The red flags.
Didn't do well in Indianapolis.
The off-the-field issues were not good. Yeah, he didn't even show up to the combine.
Right.
He has skipped everything, and it's kind of a hassle to have those interviews with him because the whole signing in and then visiting hours.
Well, Zoom helps.
It's a little more difficult. You get 1 hour a day that he's actually allowed out of. So planning becomes a little bit of an issue there. And you feel like with only 1 hour a day, development won't be great for him. So socially he'll be lacking because he doesn't have a lot of communication with other people. So that's going to be an issue too. But everybody would have taken Clyde in that one. But do the Chiefs have like a glaring need? Because right now, maybe you don't call it glaring, but they clearly have a need at tackle. They clearly have a need at left tackle. Now, I've felt for a long time, you fill your bigger needs through free agency, and you draft for the long term of your team with the best player you can and the board and all of that stuff in the draft. So if you've got a huge need at this spot, then go grab a free agent. It doesn't have to be a high level. You don't have to go and pay $100 million to that free agent. But Donovan Smith is out there. Donovan Smith has been talked about as like, well, they can just go if something doesn't work out in the draft. Maybe you draft Kingsley. Maybe you draft somebody else in the second round. And then you bring Donovan Smith in. And then you let that second round tackle sort of develop. Wanya Morris develops too and let the best man win. And then if Juwan Taylor is struggling in a couple of years, you can move on from him. And then you've got two tackles that have been drafted. And you've got those guys that still would be cheaper, etc. But we thought that about Melvin Ingram a couple of years ago. That, well, Melvin Ingram's out there. They're going to sign Melvin Ingram. Let's just go ahead and count. Like, we're going through our defensive line roster here. Let's just look through here. And here's the edge. Here's the tackle. Melvin Ingram is still a free agent, but I'm going to write Melvin Ingram in because they're going to sign Melvin Ingram. He's just waiting around. He doesn't want to go through all the OTAs. He's a veteran. It's sort of understood that there's this communication between the two, and Melvin Ingram's going to sign with the Chiefs until he did not, until he signed with the Dolphins. And then Frank Clark was brought back, and it's like, well, that's not exactly the way that we were thinking it would go. So it's easy to look at it and go, well, Donovan Smith is just going to be signed on Tuesday. Or is it Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever the free agent formula stops counting for next year? It's either Tuesday or Wednesday. So whenever that happens, you know, hey, you can just go and sign Donovan Smith. I don't think it's as easy as that because we thought the same thing about Melvin Ingram and he chose the Miami Dolphins. And if Donovan Smith is getting more money somewhere else, he's got a couple of rings already. And if it, maybe he's going to get 2 years somewhere rather than just a one-year deal with the Chiefs and then be in the same position next year. I'm not sure. But I do think there's way more of a need at tackle than really any other position. Because wide receiver, they did sign Hollywood Brown. I know there's expected suspension for Rashee Rice. But if your worst-case scenario is that the first four games of the season, your two main targets are Travis Kelce and Hollywood Brown, there are worse things in the world. Because your two main targets last year were Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice, a rookie. So at least you have an answer there. And like I've said before, you got multiple wide receivers on the field. You got one left tackle. You established and drafted that guy. You've got that position filled up. You draft a wide receiver, you still don't have the position filled up in terms of the room. Maybe you got the X receiver, but he ain't playing 100% of the snaps. Your left tackle better. So I think there's more of a need at left tackle than is being talked about. I would also rather them draft whatever they think is the best at 32. And if there is a cornerback that should be gone by the 20s or by 20 or 21 like McDuffie, I'm not saying trade up. But if he's there at 32, and it's like, well, you know, we got this wide receiver that we feel like is down here. We got this tackle that's down here. But, man, this guy, we got this guy on our board. And then there's like a five-player gap between him and everybody else. I'm going with this guy. I'm not saying that'd be a linebacker, but if it's, say, cornerback or defensive line, then I'm not, you know, thrown off or mad or upset that the Chiefs go that route when most of the eyes around the area, most of them, not all of them, but most of the eyes around the area have been on tackle and wide receiver. Understandably so. There have been others that have gone off board and said defensive line or cornerback or safety or something like that. And we'll see what they end up doing. 913-912-4810. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, continue rolling. We will talk with Kent Swanson coming up at 11 o'clock. We will also get into some more Chiefs draft discussions. We'll also go through our top three draft picks since Patrick Mahomes and rank those coming up in the noon hour. Sports or Leisure at 1 o'clock. More Zone next. All right, wrapping up this hour. We continue talk some NFL draft through the rest of the show. Next 3 hours, we will hang out with Kent Swanson in the next segment. We'll go through different draft discussions and scenarios with the Chiefs, looking at what would be the best grouping of the first and second round picks, even though we could throw in first, second, and third round, but being second and third on Friday night. But we'll go through like the best grouping of first and second round picks. We'll also pick our best draft picks since Patrick Mahomes, our top three draft picks by the Chiefs since they had the landscape NFL tectonic plate shifting draft pick of Patrick Mahomes. Ken Swanson next.